We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. 8:05 on this Wednesday morning. It's the 16th day of September 2020, and I'm John Reed. Really glad you're with us here on News Radio WRVA. Politics isn't very far behind anything that's going on these days, and Delegate Todd Gilbert has been in the General Assembly for a while now, has seen some good stuff and some bad stuff, and I think this special session probably ranks pretty highly in the bad column. He's the leader of the Republicans, the minority leader in the House of Delegates. And Delegate Gilbert, I appreciate you joining us today. And I should mention to the audience, I've invited the Democrat caucus on a number of occasions to send somebody on the radio, you know, to rebut what I'm saying. I mean, tell me I'm wrong. Argue with me about why you think you're being responsible here in the middle of a pandemic dealing with police issues and pretty, I think, recklessly dealing with police issues, and none of them want to come on. So I don't know what to read into that, but that's, I don't want our audience to think I'm just inviting Republicans on. I'm trying to get Democrats to defend themselves, and they don't want to do it. But I welcome you this morning. What's your assessment of where we are a month into this special session?
Well, John, I would happily give up my time slot any time for any of them to come on and explain their position, but it is very telling that they don't want to do that. And it's tough to defend. I mean, they have spent the bulk of this session that was, you know, ostensibly called by the governor to address our budget shortfall as a result of the, you know, lower tax revenues because of the pandemic. And instead, we have spent virtually the entire session, no pun intended on the virtually, we'll come back to that. But we've spent virtually the entire session making life a lot harder and more dangerous for police officers and a lot more forgiving for criminals. And I assume that's why they're finding it tough to defend that spot that they're in.
Yeah, but what is going on here? I mean, when you talk to Democrats casually, I mean, I guess they still talk to you casually. Do they really think that some of the proposals that have been made here and things that have moved through the General Assembly are positive? Or is there some confusion about who the good guys and the bad guys are here? What's the attitude?
Yeah. A lot of this is being driven by their extremely left-wing base, and you know, the fear of politicians on that side of you know, losing their position to some even more radical leftist legislator who would run for in you know, a primary against them. Mm-hmm. I think they're being driven in large part by that fear. And the other thing is, in terms of governing, I mean, when we were running committees in the General Assembly, at least when I was on the courts committee, we would, you know, anybody who's witnessed that process, whether they liked it or not, knows that we went through painstakingly, you know, went through bills line by line to make sure we were getting it right, to make sure we were understanding the unintended consequences. The Democrats running the show now, it seems like they're passing bills based on, you know, a feeling, and, you know, they're passing bills based on the synopsis of the bill, as opposed to when we bring up legitimate concerns about, hey, you're about to take this way too far. Here are all the unintended consequences. We show them the language. We show them why it's bad. and they just sort of slough it off, and they are not willing to take any criticism or any constructive, movement on the language of the bill from us, I guess because it's us, the Republicans. And what you're getting is garbage legislation that's going to really drive police out of the profession if it were to become law. So
is that because they're newbies? It's great to have fresh blood in an organization, but one of the downsides to that is you can lose institutional memory, and you can have people who are so enthusiastic about their opinion that they wind up making bad decisions because they don't even know any better. And I'm beginning to wonder whether that's part of what's happening here.
It absolutely is. You got a lot of new people on that side. You have, strange combinations of agendas coming together. And I think, the speaker not fully being able to control, those agendas, or, having no desire to control it. And you're getting all these forces coming together to drive the movement of bad legislation, and not just bad in its concept, but bad in its construction. I mean, we can argue whether the concepts are good or bad, but at least try to get it right. And I'm not sure they're doing that all the time.
What's the most egregious thing that has gone through as it relates, at least, to the police issue so far?
I mean, so much of it. They've said basically, and we've offered to work with them on so much of this that we want to get rid of bad police, right? We agree. We want to do that.
Right.
We want to make it easier to get rid of the bad apples. We want to make it, harder for the bad apples to hurt people. Just basic stuff that we should all be able to agree on and work together on. But they've done things like say that, there was a chokehold bill. No more chokeholds. Okay, that sounds good on the face of it. What if you're a, 130-pound female trooper fighting for your life with a 6'5" suspect on the side of the road in the middle of the night? With no backup, can you resort to that without getting charged with a felony? Democrats would say you can't. No-knock warrants. They said no more no-knock warrants. Okay, that may be a bad idea in most cases, and they don't use no-knock warrants in most cases. Mm-hmm. But when they do, it's because they have a very dangerous suspect. And what they've done with an outright ban on that is basically more police are going to get killed and more suspects are going to get killed. And more innocent people are going to get killed. Then the last one, just that jumps out at me, they had a decertification bill to make it easier to get rid of the bad apples again. Mm-hmm. And instead of just, leaving it with, use of force issues and things that are pretty egregious, they stuck a line in there about if you violate the policy of the agency, you are automatically decertified. So if you're a young deputy and the sheriff thinks you may run against him in the next election and you violate the facial hair policy. You come in with a unshaven one day and the sheriff says you're fired because you violated the facial hair policy. The DCJS has to automatically decertify you as a police officer. So you lose your livelihood. And those are the kinds of just bad drafting things that we pointed out to them, that they were just unwilling all the way along to relent and to take any constructive criticism or changes. And I could go on and on with that. I know you don't have time, but it's pretty bad.
It was just a complete breakdown at the Capitol. I mean, this is why you have, in theory at least, two political parties to try to iron out these issues. And you've got, kind of the loyal opposition to point out your errors. Hopefully, in the end, everything comes out okay. And it sounds like in this case, that's not what's happening.
Well, and easier to sue the police. I mean, who's going to want to be a police officer after this is all over with? If they're going to get decertified and sued and they can't defend themselves, they can't use tear gas without, announcing it in triplicate by putting it up on the board. I mean, some of the stuff they did was again
absurd.
Absurd. And again, John, I hate to say it, but made life a lot easier for criminals, like cutting sentences down, erasing convictions from your record that may have been well deserved, and just on a blanket scale. And again, this was supposed to be about the budget, about getting our kids back in school, about protecting our AAA bond rating. I think they want to throw all that out the window too, it seems like, and we have no roadmap whatsoever for where we're going right now with the state budget. The House and Senate Democrats really don't talk to each other, and we just have no idea where this is headed right now. And we're just caught up in this other, you know, defund the police and reward the criminals process.
Yeah. Well, I think life's going to get a lot worse for us. You know, the suburban folks, and I'm constantly told by the pollsters that these suburban women don't like the language that Republicans use. They hate Donald Trump. Okay. I don't get it. But if I were a suburban woman right now, I'd be paying close attention to whether I'm going to be safer in another couple of months, or whether my home in Henrico or Chesterfield or Goochland or Hanover is suddenly more vulnerable to people who are being dumped back out on the street after they've committed a crime. I don't think that's inflammatory and political. I think that's very practical. Hey, last couple of seconds, I've got to ask you, how long does the session stay in here? I mean, you got to deal with the budget at some point. That was the whole point of coming. Does the General Assembly just hang out here through November? What is the plan?
Yeah, we're kind of hanging out. I mean, people ask me all the time, how long is this going to go on? And I just sort of shrug my shoulders and say, I don't know. And
unbelievable.
And I'm fairly convinced that they don't know. Again, I think we have a better relationship with House Democratic leadership in terms of communication than I believe the Senate does. I don't think they talk. And if they do, it's not productive talk from what we can tell.
So the Democrats are fighting Senate to House. I mean, that's like,
yes,
the elitists in the Senate are looking down their nose at the Democrats.
Well,
their own party in the House.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some institutional issues as you've alluded to, but I think it's some personality conflicts, and the Senate has done this. Senate Republicans and Senate Democrats have all had turns at running things, and House Democrats have not. And so I think the way maybe the House leadership is running things is running afoul of the sensibilities of the Senate or what they would want to see in terms of communication and coordination. And that's evident from, everything to the way we've set this up to do this virtually, I think has really gotten stuck in their craw just as it has ours.
Wow. I mean, only the dysfunction would stop some of the bad bills instead of stop dealing with the budget, but
well,
I guess that's not the case.
It is a little bit. Some of these things have been stopped in the Senate, so we're hopeful that cooler heads prevail and we can get some, decent public policy out of this at the end of the day and get our budget fixed, which is why we're
hang in there
in the first place.
Delegate Todd Gilbert is the leader of the Republicans, the minority leader in the House of Delegates. I appreciate the chance to talk to you and bring us up to date. Thank you.
I appreciate it too, John. Thank you.
8:17. Hey, an open invitation to Democrat leaders if they want to come on and rebut what Delegate Gilbert just said or yell at me and get in an argument with me. It can be heated if you want. That's fine. You're welcome to come on the air. Just let me know. It's 8:17. We're back with more in a moment. News Radio WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.